Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Allergy Talk, a podcast by the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Today, we're actually going to be discussing a brand new resource that was recently put together by the ACAAI with sponsorship from Sanofi and Regeneron to promote a better understanding of how various allergic conditions are related on the basis of underlying type 2 inflammation. The purpose of the project was to increase awareness as well as to educate primary care providers and patients on how a better understanding of these connected diseases can lead to earlier diagnosis and a more directed, personalized management strategy. My name is Ben Prince, and I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at The Ohio State University College of Medicine, and also an associate division chief of research for the Division of Allergy and Immunology at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. I have had the privilege of working as a subject expert for this TH2 disease awareness project, specifically helping out with the website narrative content, symptom checklist, and some of the disease-specific information. Today, I have the privilege of being joined by two of my personal friends and colleagues who are also subject matter experts that helped bring this project to fruition. The first is Dr. Justin Grywe. Justin, welcome to Allergy Talk. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and kind of what you worked on in the project.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I appreciate you having me here. This is exciting. I've never done a podcast before. I am in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm a partner at Bernstein Allergy Group, and I've been there since 2014 after graduating fellowship from Cleveland Clinic with David Lang. The interest here is I've been really involved in a lot of course, type 2 inflammation, like we all are, with diseases that we treat every day. And with our practice especially, we tend to see some of the more severe cases. So bringing an understanding of type 2 inflammatory diseases, not only to other allergists, but to the general public and our primary care colleagues, I think is really important because we're all in this together. And I think sharing this knowledge and making sure we're all on the same page is really important. So I was excited to be part of the project.
Awesome. Well, glad to have you here. Next, I want to introduce Maureen Peterson. So she was also one of the other subject matter experts, and she is here to give us a little insight on what happened in the project as well. Maureen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ben, thanks so much for having me here. My name is Maureen Peterson. I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. I became a faculty member after retiring from the military, and I'm passionate about teaching, so was honored to be asked to serve as a subject matter expert on the TH2 Disease Awareness Project. I specifically helped out with the microsite, which you'll hear a little bit more about, along with the type 2 inflammatory disease slide deck that is available as a resource.
Awesome. Well, thank you. A huge thank you to both of you for joining us today. I think as we start the conversation about kind of what this project entails, I think where we really need to start is kind of what are these diseases and sort of what is the population? Like how big is this impact that these diseases have on our general population? So Justin, can you tell us a little bit about what the goals were for this project, why it's so important and what the college tasked us to do when they reached out to us?
Yeah, so it was an ambitious project, and what they really wanted was to create a more accessible, interactive, educational website where you can really interact with primary care physicians in adult and pediatric, and really bring the public in as well, you know, making sure that patients have more information and better educational resources that are well vetted and reliable. So that's where we as experts came in and provided this content. And as I mentioned earlier, type 2 inflammatory diseases encompass a wide range of conditions that we treat in our everyday practice. And to just give you a quick synopsis of some of the ones we focused on, of course, asthma, atopic dermatitis, eosinophilic esophagitis, food allergies, chronic rhinosinusitis with nasal polyps. All these diseases kind of coexist and share this similar inflammatory pathway. And the numbers, if you look at how many people suffer from these conditions, that's why I love allergy, is we're affecting the lives of millions of people throughout the US. I mean, it's hard to drill down the exact estimate, but tens of millions of people suffer if you bring in all those type 2 inflammatory conditions we just talked about. Of course, different severities, mild, moderate, and severe. But yeah, this is a big patient population, and the quality of life we can provide by giving patients better education on appropriate diagnosis and treatment is really important. And as I mentioned, can really affect a lot of people. If you look at specific goals that they wanted us to look into, they wanted us to kind of improve recognition of eosinophils and TH2 cells as kind of effectors of this atopic pathway. So a little bit of the understanding of the pathophysiology of type 2 inflammation, improving that public and patient understanding of type 2 inflammatory conditions, and then kind of going over the constellation of symptoms that you might suffer from so that if you're questioning whether or not you might be suffering from this in one of these conditions, you can get more information there. And then what's nice about this whole website and interactive videos and everything else we created is it gives patients a brief look into the window of what Th2 inflammation is, but also provides insight of what doctors can help me. You know, do I have allergists in my region that I can reach out to and get an appointment? And I think connecting primary care with allergists and then improving patient outcomes is ultimately the goal of this whole process. And I think we did a good job in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that while sort of it's second nature for us as allergists to understand the concept that these are all kind of connected in a way, given that underlying inflammation, I think that there are definitely some primary care providers as well as patients that this might be really insightful for them, like understanding like, hey, I have environmental allergies, you know, it's more likely that I then might manifest with these other conditions. And I think that that's where these developments of these microsites will also be really helpful, not only just for the patients, like you said, but also for the providers to sort of to helping them be aware to recognize them. Maureen, noting that, can you give us a little bit of an overview of the content that we created for specifically for the provider microsite?
Sure. As someone who helped out on putting the provider microsite together, I'm really proud of the product that is out there to be used as a comprehensive resource for healthcare professionals. It is awesome because it offers a variety of tools and educational materials that not only healthcare professionals can use, but patients can also use, and healthcare professionals can use the tools that are there to help educate their patients and ultimately take better care of them. There's several different things that I will mention just to highlight some of the available tools that are on the microsite. The first is a symptom checklist. It is a narrative that helps guide providers in recognizing and understanding symptoms that are associated with the Th2 diseases that Justin just mentioned. And it really, that checklist helps healthcare providers with early identification and accurate diagnosis of a variety of different Th2 diseases. There's two different graphics that I think are very valuable that are on the provider microsite. One is a graphic that represents the spectrum of conditions, and it illustrates just the range of related conditions within a specific disease spectrum. This particular graphic helps providers to understand how various symptoms and conditions are really connected and emphasizes that there is a continuum of disease severity and manifestations. The second graphic, I think, is valuable to help healthcare providers understand the inflammatory conditions, but also help them use this graphic as a tool to educate their patients. And this is the inflammatory cascade graphic. It really breaks down the underlying pathophysiology of various inflammatory diseases, and it shows this cascade of immune responses that we as allergists, immunologists are used to thinking about, but can help with providing insights into the mechanisms of various diseases that drive the conditions. There is an overview on the microsite of various disease diagnoses and treatments. It is a very concise summary of some of the best practices in diagnosing and managing the conditions that we focus on, and helps providers really stay informed with what is current in standards of care. The final thing that I'll mention about the provider microsite is it is a resource that is chock full of other information that providers can use to help with staying up to date on the disease treatments and diagnoses. There are things on there like a eosinophilic esophagitis practice parameters. There is an eosinophilic esophagitis didactic lecture by Jonathan Spergel. There is a slide deck that looks at TH2 inflammatory disease and helps healthcare providers understand it, but can also be used to educate other colleagues and patients. It's an awesome one-stop hub for providers.
I agree. I mean, as going through this kind of final rendition of the project that we were sort of tasked to put together or help put together, I'm really proud of it. It actually came out really nice. There's a lot of useful information there, especially to the primary care provider. I particularly really love, you talked about the couple graphics, the graphic that talks a little bit about the cascade of inflammation. And I love that because it really not only kind of shows how targeted therapies like biologic, small molecule treatments that we have now that are currently available target these diseases, but also like 5 years from now, where other new biologics and targeted small molecule medications might be available to target these pathways. So I think it really starts to help educate the primary care provider on understanding like why we're using these biologics, what to expect from initiating the treatment, as well as maybe potential side effects that might come from them as far as the pathways that they block. Justin, can you tell us a little bit about, so we got a good rendition on what's available on the provider microsite. Tell us a little bit about the patient microsite and kind of what information is there. I suspect there's a little bit of repetition, but maybe more in a patient-specific form.
Yeah, I think with the patient journey, we really doubled down on the audiovisual to really give patients a better understanding of what would an interaction be with a physician in the office when I come in with certain complaints. Or to even go further, I have a friend or a child or a parent that I'm concerned is suffering from some symptoms. Maybe this could be a type 2 inflammatory condition. Let's walk through what their journey looks like. So we did this in a couple of ways. We looked first at a child's journey with eosinophilic esophagitis from kind of start to finish, looking at parents' concerns for their child's eating habits and choking episodes and growth parameters and how those worries translated into a pediatrician visit, which then translated into an allergist visit, which then went to a GI for diagnosis, and then that collaboration with everyone afterward. It's a great journey from start to finish that shows when working together how we can improve a kid's quality of life when they're suffering from EoE. Similar journey with an adult, maybe some slightly different initial presentations, but we all have those patients who say, you know, especially if we diagnose a child with EoE and the mom's like, you know what, I think my dad had a similar scenario, or I think that sounds like some relatives I have. So these things resonate with patients because you can see that journey play out in real time with these videos. So I think that's really important. And then, of course, we wanted to show what, not just cartoon graphics, but what does an actual doctor's visit look like? And so we have some really good educational videos, two of them reviewing, again, going back to eosinophilic esophagitis, how is it diagnosed and treated in both a pediatric and adult scenario? So a great walkthrough with an actual physician talking about that. So I think that will resonate with patients. And in addition, some visual representations of the human body laid out on the website with kind of little areas that you can click on, and that'll expand depending on what type of symptoms you might be having. If there's issues with choking with food or having to chew your food really small so you can swallow it, you can click on the esophagus and it kind of shows more information about EoE. Same with the nasal polyps and the nasal passage, clicking on the lungs, talking about asthma, the skin with eczema. So it really breaks down these conditions in a simple, easy to understand and read snippets that can provide a lot of additional education for parents and patients as they, again, navigate this very complicated disease process. And then looking for that collaboration between the pediatrician, PCP, and us. So it's a great resource, and I think everyone will really like it.
I agree. I think it provides really good patient insight and patient perspective. And I think that's what's really important to sort of get that there are other people that are suffering from this as well. This is what it might look like. And to hear from other patients from that, get that perspective is very helpful, I think. I actually think that this could be something that could be utilized, even like we all do like after visit summaries now in the technology age. Like this could be a link in a primary care provider's like discharge paperwork. Like when they have one of these diseases, they could link this for patients to get more information. I think it could be very powerful. So unfortunately, we don't have enough time to go through in detail everything that's on this, but there's a lot of information here. But I wanted to wrap things up after we kind of highlighted stuff and really encourage you guys to go out and take a look at this information that's now available. But I wanted to ask each of you what your thoughts were on why a project such as this is so important. So Maureen, tell me a little bit about now after you've kind of been involved in putting this together, what are your thoughts on why this can be so powerful?
So I think that patients are the center of everything that we do. And we know that patient outcomes are better when they have a healthcare team that is helping them through their disease process. Allergists, immunologists provide a really unique and invaluable role in patient care. Allergists and immunologists have that education and experience to manage a very wide spectrum of related diseases like we've been talking about. This allows us to not only diagnose and treat these conditions effectively, but it also allows us to identify those connections that I spoke about earlier and maybe make some connections that weren't immediately obvious. So it's leveraging our understanding of the immune system. And we can do that to provide patient-specific treatments that address multiple conditions simultaneously, leading to overall improved outcomes. It's really allowing healthcare providers to give a holistic approach to patient care.
I honestly couldn't agree more. I frequently, it's more common than not that I see a patient where I'm addressing multiple problems and they're all in this sort of inflammatory cascade of dysregulated Th2 inflammation. And I think that our patients are very thankful and appreciative of being able to come to one visit, right, where they get comprehensive care and targeted treatment and management recommendations that can maybe impact many areas of their manifestations of disease that improve their quality of life. So I think that it's commonplace to us, but I think that it's starting to bring this to the forefront of like to the primary care space, to patients, like, hey, these are all connected. And if you have this disease, it's also possible that you could manifest in these other ways as well. So I agree. That's very, very insightful thoughts, Maureen. Justin, what about you? What do you think is sort of the importance of projects such as this?
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned the complicated nature of compiling all this information and creating a good treatment plan and improving outcomes. And this type 2 inflammatory cascade is not simple. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of interconnectedness. And we all know, I mean, our primary care colleagues are inundated with lots of patients, a ton of other information that they have to gather beyond just their, you know, Th2 inflammation issues. And so that outreach to let primary care know that we're in this together, we're here to help, and relieving some of that burden from their day-to-day office work. And I think increasing knowledge, increasing interaction, EHR has been an amazing improvement in certain ways, but it's also disconnected us in a lot of ways. So I don't know if we have as many one-on-one consultations with our primary care colleagues. And so I think this is another way to just reach out to them and say, hey, we're here. Here's some resources for you to help improve your day and improve your stress. And then, of course, on the flip side, making sure that patients have that information as well, so that if they are concerned, they can bring these information up to their primary care doctor, which then can facilitate these types of referrals. So I think from top to bottom, it's a great project, and I think will improve the lives of both our patients and our primary care colleagues.
Yeah, I agree. I'm more excited now than I was even when we started the podcast. I think that you guys have both brought out some really interesting points. I think that this is kind of powerful stuff that as we start to educate those folks that are on the front lines, just like you said, Justin, I think that it'll not only improve diagnosis, time to diagnosis, as well as referral to the allergy immunology specialists that can help sort of manage these disease processes. And my hope is that primary care providers, patients, the general public access this, they get this information, and overall, we empower them to take the next step. So I really want to thank you, a big thank you to both of you for taking the time to join me today. It was fun sort of prepping this, planning this, working with you guys. This is not the first time we've all worked together. I enjoyed every single time. Thanks for coming on our show. It was really fun to work together again. I have a couple of few final thoughts just to throw out there that I have to do for every podcast. So first, just to remind you guys, we would encourage just sort of any feedback, corrections, suggestions, email them to allergytalk@acaai.org. And just want to remind you guys that the ACAI is presenting this podcast for educational purposes only. It is not medical advice or intended to replace the judgment of a licensed physician. The college is not responsible for any claims related to procedures, professionals, products, or methods discussed in the podcast, and it does not approve or endorse of any products, professionals, services, methods, or methods that might be referenced today. Thank you all for joining us. I wish you a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you guys soon.